Yep, I can see it. I can see it. Praise God. Hey, cool. All right, awful quiet in this place. Praise God. You know, Pastor Sherry and I love you, and I want to tell you how much I love you. There are many times that the Lord will wake me up to pray for you, and I thought, man, I really love them, because I still wear this retainer in my mouth. I take that thing out, and I start praying for you. So I love you. We pray for you. I like sleeping through the night, but I will get up and pray for you because we love you. Talk about why I love you, because we pray for you. And we just thank you for being a part of this body, this church. You've made us richer, and I hope you make everybody else richer in the friendships that are going on here. So I'm going to pray again. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you. This is a day. Again, all day, every day, just but to celebrate you and who you are and this crazy, amazing love that you have for us. I thank you, Father, that you have given us, while we're still on the planet, you've given us your word, this Bible. And I thank you that you make it alive to us today as we hear the word. And I thank you, Father, that we are growing and changing in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Last week, we started a new series called Eternity, and why did I pick a series on eternity? Because when you understand eternity, I guarantee you will have a skip in your step. You will be just living and charging faster than ever before. So if you're just kind of dragging, you need to be here, okay? Last week we said, by the way, last week was so good. I went home and I couldn't even take a nap. I just preached myself so happy. Usually I just wipe out. I'm like, man, get the CDs. We give out CDs. They're free. You can go online. It's free. Just listen to it because I've really laid some foundations. So therefore, I'm going to kind of go over a little bit and then we're going to cruise on. But last week we said every human being, raise your hand if you're a human being. Raise your other hand if you know human beings. Every human being is eternal. Every person will live forever. And, you know, sometimes we miss that. It's just like, yeah, Pastor D. No. Every human being is eternal. And if we understand that, we will live big. Amen. So the thing about being eternal is your question is, well, what address? Right? We talked about addresses, and I'm going to pick up today, and today we're going to talk about that address that nobody wants to go to. We're going to talk about the address nobody wants to go to. It's called hell. And I really think we need to understand this address, especially if you're a believer, especially if you've received Jesus. You need to understand this address. So, how many of you have heard stories about people who have died and come back to life? Okay. You know, I hear some of them, and I think maybe, whatever reason why, I've become a little critical and picky-oony on some of them. I'm like, that sounds like a nut job, you know? I don't really know them. So, since we're going to talk about hell, I'm going to tell a story of a person who I actually knew. And I watched their life afterwards. How many of you know of Kenneth E. Hagin? Better known as Brother Hagin. A couple of us went to school out there. Liz, Christine Reen, Jim, Sherry, myself. So we got to know. And Liz, I'm going to tell a story we probably could tell doing cartwheels upside down. So I'm going to tell his story about when he died and went to hell, or almost into hell, and came back. And I tried to find a YouTube, but his story is so long, so I'm going to read part of it. And he says this: after I was raised off the bed of sickness, I was 16 years old, and I used to preach, tell people in school. Right? I used to preach in school, in the schoolyard, and on the street corners in the marketplace. And I would tell people, even if I didn't have a Bible, I would tell them, I know that hell is real because I went there. So I want to tell you his story. And I watched this man live his life, and it changed him. All right? So it happened on 405 North College Avenue, McKinney, Texas, on the southeast bedroom on a Saturday night. I was in, grandma's clock had just struck 7:30 and my heart stopped. So he goes on, he says, I was laying in this bed. He'd been sick all his life. He had a deformed heart and an incurable disease. And he could never run like other kids. Sometimes he'd run and just fall to the ground because his heart just was deformed in this blood disease. So he'd been sick the last couple years and hadn't gotten out of this bed. And at 7:30 that night, faster than I can say, the blood ceased to circulate in my body, way down at the end of my toes. They seemed to go numb. This numbness spread from my feet to my ankles, my knees, my hips, my stomach, my heart, and I leaped out of my body like a man who would leap off a diving board into a swimming pool. I began to descend feet first, down, down, down. It was like going down into a well or a deep cavern. I could look up and I could see the lights of earth flickering at a distance, and then they finally faded away and darkness encompassed me. It was a darkness so dark you couldn't even see your hand if it was 1 inch in front of you. And the blackness was so dense it seemed if you could cut it with a knife. The farther down I went, the darker and the hotter it became. When I reached the bottom of this cavern of darkness, it only took a few seconds, but it felt like eternity. I could see flickering of lights flickering and playing on the walls in the darkness. And at the bottom of the pit was an entrance into hell itself. Then I saw what was causing the flickering lights. Beyond the gates of hell was giant orange flames crescent with white. The pathway that led to hell's gates inclined downward. And just as I sort of floating towards to the gates, unable to stop the descent, somehow I knew that if I went through those gates, I'd never come back. And I was afraid. As I approached the gates of hell, some kind of creature met me. I kept looking straight ahead, my eyes riveted on hell, so I never looked directly at this creature, but I knew he was there. I tried to slow down my descent, but the creature took hold of my arm and escorted me. At that moment, from way above the darkness, a voice spoke, and it was a male voice. I didn't know what he said. It was a foreign language, and this voice uttered only a few words, but at the entrance place, hell, it shook as he spoke from top to bottom. When that voice spoke, the creature let go of my arm and I began to float up towards the earth, away from hell. It was like a great suction and a magnet that drew me up, and I began to ascend. Before I reached the top of the pit, I could see lights of the earth again. And when I came out from the dark cavern, I was on the porch of 405 North College Street, McKinney, Texas, just outside the south bedroom. I could see a giant cedar, and he goes on to describe, and he could see his grandmother and his mother, okay? Then what happened to me three times that night? This happened to me three times that night. The third time I began to descend into darkness, I cried out, God, I belong to a church. God, I've been water baptized. What I meant was, I'm going in the wrong direction. But there was no answer, only an echo of my voice through the darkness. The second time I cried out louder, God, I belong to the church. I've been water baptized. But still no answer, only the sound of my voice echoing through the darkness. The third time I literally screamed, God, I belong to the church. I've been water baptized. But you see, although you've been water baptized and belong to a church, all right, it takes more than that to miss hell and go to heaven. The Bible says you must be born again. You must know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When I came to the bottom of the pit, the creature again met me and took me by the arm. I intended to put up a fight if I could from keeping going. I only managed to slow my descent a little bit. Thank God that voice spoke again, and hell shook. It just trembled. And that creature took his hands off my arms. I came floating back up to earth. Only this time, as I ascended through the darkness, I began to say, God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you to forgive me my sins and cleanse me of my sins. So I leap back into my body, and he goes on to tell. I got to know this man a little bit, not best friends, but I knew his story. So today, I want to talk a little bit about hell, and some of you are going, Pastor D, it's Sunday. You want to talk about hell? Oh, baby, I want to talk about hell, because hell has to do with eternity, and it is important that we especially know about this. Okay, and you know, when I think about this, do you know that Jesus talked about hell about 3% of the time? Jesus! And about 10% of the time he talked about heaven. So you know what that tells me? Should talk more about heaven. But listen, if he talked about hell 3%, today's your 3%. Look at your neighbor, say, today's the day, 3%. She's doing it. Okay? I'm doing it. Because as a believer, as a Christian, we need to understand this. Did you know that Barnum, it's a business, and they do research for Christian groups. And they did this survey. They're really big on surveys, but they did this survey, and listen what this. They found out that 79% of Christians, born-again Christians, say this. They do not believe that they should share their faith with anyone. And guess what? They don't. Now, must be some other church, right? Listen to this. So that means, do a little math, only 21% of Christians ever share their faith. What do I mean, share your faith? Tell people about who came into your life, changed your life. Only 21% of Christians share their life. And listen, this is my reason for sharing about hell, okay? Because I hope to teach you and encourage you, myself included, that of people who are walking around you, people who you rub shoulders with, that there is an eternity and there's a place we don't want them to go, right? Amen, all right? Now listen, we live in this world and there's some good things in the world. Ice cream's a good thing. Right? Air conditioning's a good thing. Okay? But there's good things in the world. But the problem is sometimes those good things will cause me to drift. Me? Yeah, I'll drift. I was just telling Angie. I was like, you know, I get a little lazy here. And the reason why we have so many good things in life, that they can clutter my life, that I will forget to see people who are walking, I rub shoulders with, who will spend eternity in a place that you wouldn't want your worst enemy to go to. So this is a message to stir me up. This is a message to stir you up, to open your eyes, all right? So the other part is the message. The number one reason is that it'll make you aware to pray for people. We're going to pray for people. And I'm telling you what, when I get your name, baby, and I like, I'm on you. And I've seen people's things change, their lives change and come to Jesus. So we're going to pray and we're going to be looking for open doors, okay? Open doors. And you know, listen, you cannot talk about Jesus every minute of the day. You can't. You're going to get fired, number one. Yeah. I had a kid. Funny story. I had a kid, he just graduated high school and came up and he goes, you know, Pastor D, I want to get a job where I can read my Bible all day. I don't even get paid to read my Bible all day. I do a lot of stuff, okay? So you can't do this. But listen, we can be looking for doors where we share Jesus. Share what Jesus has done in your life, right? Amen? And because God uses us. God uses us. Look at your neighbor and say, God's using you. He's going to use you. He's using you, all right? So, here's our main idea. If you're taking notes, write this down. Chew on it all week. It's better than oatmeal. Stick to you. Let it just stick to you. Stick to you. Stick to you. You're going to look at it. Ready? Write this down, okay? Hell wasn't created for people, but some people will end up there. That should make you cry. I think that's the saddest Bible truth ever. Hell was not created for people, but some people will choose to go there. Woohoo! All right? So today what I want to do is I want to talk about two main reasons why a loving God would allow people to go to such an awful place. Just two. Looking at the clock, we can do this. Two reasons why a loving God will allow people to choose to go to this place. Did you notice some of those words I said? Allow and choose, okay? And I'm telling you, this will help us be more aware of people. Amen. So I want to show you that this is true. I'm going to show you that God didn't create hell for people. And I'm telling you, he will grieve, he will cry when anybody chooses to go there. You know, Okay, so turn over to Matthew chapter 25. We talked a little bit about this. I'm just going to bring up the last part last week. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Did you see that? So hell was made not for human beings. Hell was made and prepared for the devil and the fallen angels, okay? God never intended for people to go there. All right, that's a good God, all right? But we found out last week, God draws a hard line, like a line in the sand. We used to do this as a kid. God draws a hard line, all right? And we can make a choice to go to that place, okay? And we're going to talk about how you make that choice, all right? But we're not making that choice, but we don't, all right? Just think about it. A choice. We make a choice to go to that place. People make a choice, okay? And a choice, this is the choice. Have you repented of your sins? We've all been born sinners, okay? Have you repented? Have you said, Jesus, I see that I'm a sinner and I see that you took your sins, my sins, you carried them away, and I'm receiving you as my Lord. That's the choice we get to make. Okay, that's the choice we get to make. Okay, now, if you don't make that choice, you have already made a choice. If you don't make that choice, you already have made a choice, all righty? So, one, God is not sending anybody to hell. People choose by their choice to go to that place. I know, this is just hard. Doesn't that just sound terrible? Okay, but it's true, all righty? So, we're talking about two reasons why God would allow a God who's love. God would allow people to go to this horrible place. And we can also say it this way, why God would allow some people not into heaven. And we're going to talk about that. So here's number one reason. If you're taking notes, write this down. Here's a number one reason, or the first reason, why God would allow people to choose that. Here we go. Sin and evil can't enter heaven. You should all be going, yahoo! Right? That should make you happy. No sin, no evil can enter heaven, okay? And those of us who accepted Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we are glad, right? I'm glad. And listen, heaven is going to be so different than what earth is, so I'm glad, all right? Turn over to Revelations again. These are some of the scriptures we talked about last week, but I'm just going to pull up a couple more and just emphasize them. Revelation chapter 21. By the way, read Revelation 21. It's kind of a fun chapter. It's got all these. Anyway, not telling you. Just go read it, all right? And if you have little kids, I already read that once. Go read it again. Just love little kids. I read that once, Pastor D. Okay. Revelation 21, y'all there? First off, background, so you get the context. Ready? The background, this is the new heaven and new earth. Everybody say new. Who likes new shoes? New cars, new house. New, I do. Okay, heaven, this is a new one, all right? This is happening after God creates the new, all righty? Revelation 21, verse 8. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worships, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Hell, this is the second death. Okay. Death, we learned last week, is not you cease to exist. The Bible, when it talks about this death, it's not you dead as a dog, someone used to say. Sorry for all you dog people. All right. Don't go there, D. All right. Okay. Okay. But death, I know. Death is separation from God. Everybody say that. Death is separation from God. Death is separation from God, okay? Now, we were all born dead in our trespasses of sins, and therefore our spirits, the real us, was separated from God. That's death, separated from God. And again, remember, all people are eternal. So think about that. Now, I remember reading, who's read Revelation 21? Who's ever read that? I remember, honest to goodness, I bet you I can remember the first time I read it. It gave me the heebie-jeebies. It just, you know, gave me the heebie-jeebies because I'm reading it and I'm like, cowards. Oh, you know, that means fear. I got a lot of fear in my life. Okay? And then, you know, unbelievers, liars. Oh, liars, you know, like little, God, do you mean the little white lies? Okay, this one really wrecked my life. I was just like kind of scared there for a while. But let me tell you, that's not what God's talking about. And I want to talk about the difference between Christians, people that have become born again, that even struggle, Christians that struggle. Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Raise your other hand if you struggle occasionally, okay? Okay, so I want to talk about Christians that struggle and the difference between them and someone who is, we would call them a non-believer, a non-Christian. They've not accepted Jesus, okay? Now, the cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, blah, 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 and liars. They're just kind of expressions of all the many things that a non-believer will do, just do, just do, just, that's, they live their life to do, okay? That's what he's describing, a non-Christian, a non-believer, that's the way they're living their life, okay? Now, you and I as Christians, I am forgiven, but I still struggle. If you've ever driven with me, okay? And I have a few other things, all right? But you know, I was kind of praying about this morning, get up early, go over my notes, and I was just praying. And the thought came to me, you know, I've been a believer, received Jesus 40-plus years, and I've been in some type of ministry for 30-plus years, pastoring full-time upstairs for 10 years, okay? And, you know, I've gotten to watch generations of families in this church. Generations of families in this church that they receive Jesus and then their kids receive Jesus. And by the way, I dedicated their babies. Some of them, I've dedicated their babies, okay? And by the way, let me, this side note, there's ordinances that we call them ordinances in the Bible. And one of them is to be water baptized. That's an ordinance, okay? And actually, you're commanded. So for one day, you might have messed up hair. But I'll talk about water baptism, all right? And the other one is child dedication. Jesus was child dedicated, okay? And really, child dedication is not a water baptism. It's really a parent dedication. Everybody say parent. Because we're going to get you to stand up here and say, I choose to dedicate my child to know the Lord. Amen. Okay. So, if you've never dedicated your child, come and see me. It's just a beautiful thing, and God imparts things and stuff like that. Okay, back on track. Okay. So, after 40-plus years, these are some things I've noticed, okay? Not everybody that says they're a Christian really accepted Jesus. Amen. Yeah, that's not a fun place to say amen, okay? But really, that's important to know, okay? And I want to show you the difference between someone who has accepted Jesus and some... Okay. So if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I believe that you died on a cross to take my sins and the sins of the world and carry them away and wash me, okay, and I accept you as my Savior, okay, if you are done that, guess what? You're still going to struggle in life. No spouses pointing to one another, okay? You're still going to have some struggles in life. So you know what that means? You're still going to sin. Okay, but the thing with someone who really has asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior in your life, I am still going to sin. But you know what? I am going to say I'm sorry. Big difference. Okay, I'm going to say I'm sorry, and I'm going to repent. That's such a good word. You should do a word study on repent. So like turn 180, say, God, I did this. She didn't make me do that. You can't say that. God, I did this, And I'm sorry, forgive me, and I'm going to try again, okay? But this is what I've noticed over the years, okay? I've run into people who do some heavy, big Bible sins. And they're doing them. And they're bad. And I'll go up and I'll have a conversation with them. I'm never really in your face. You have to invite me to be in your face. Nah, I take that back. That was a lie. Sometimes I get in your face, okay? I'm so sorry, I repent, okay? But listen, you know, they say that they're a Christian, but they're doing the big, bad, and ugly, and they know it. And I'll say, hey, you know, what are you doing? And they're like, you know, that Bible's just outdated. It's not really for today. I'm going to do what I want to do. I have had conversations like that. And I'm like, whoa. You know what? It makes me think that maybe they really didn't accept Jesus to be their Savior and Lord. Because when you do, this Holy Spirit comes in. He's better than your mama. And he'll convict you. He doesn't condemn you. Big difference. He will convict you of your sin. And you just know right away. How many of you know right away when you sin? Oh, yeah. Sometimes if I'd listen, I wouldn't even get myself in there because he's telling me, don't open your mouth, don't open your mouth, don't open your mouth, don't open your mouth. And then I do, and he's just like, I know when I messed up. So y'all, I'm not perfect. Not yet. And I have grown in a lot of areas in my life. Okay, I've grown in a lot of areas in my life where sin, these things were just kind of regulars. Okay, but I've grown. But I'm still working at it. And to this day, I didn't go anywhere yesterday, so I didn't drive, so it was a good day. I just stayed home, okay? But to this day, I will sin. I will mess up. I will, you know, you know what I do right away? God, man, God, I'm so sorry. I did that. I know I shouldn't have. Please forgive me. Thank you, I'm forgiven. And thank you that you helped me. Now, this is my opinion why people struggle forever. This is opinion right on top of your name. This is Pastor D's for just her opinion, all right? But I've watched Christians struggle forever in this area, a particular area. And you know what I think? This is my opinion. I think, one, they've not been taught right. And two, they've not renewed their mind, their thinking, to the way God wants you to. Because man, you find out that it'll bring freedom in your life, okay? It'll bring freedom in your life. So, like me, how many of you are like me? You mess up. How many of you made it to church with messing up? I tell you, Jack and I would have wing-ding, yelling, screamings on our way to church. And then I realized, that's that devil, okay? And listen, he would pull over the side of the road and says, we're not going to church. We have to go to the church. You're the pastor. And I'm screaming. I can scream. It's been a long time since I've screamed. It really has. And I'm screaming at him, and he goes, no, we're not going until you say you're sorry, and I say I'm sorry, and we pray. And I'm like, shoot, we're not going. We got to go. And I say, I'm sorry. Okay. But I can be a screamer. That's just a fun story. Okay. So, fun story. Where am I? Oh, yeah, we can mess up, right? All right, listen. But we're growing. Everybody say, I'm growing. I'm growing. I'm growing. You better be growing because I'll be in your face. No, I'm growing. And listen, you know in your heart, right? You know in your heart. So, you know, listen to the heart, the Spirit of God, your spirit. Okay, now, so we're dealing with the number one reason God will allow people. And the first reason is God does not allow evil or sin to enter in. So let me give you a scripture. We did the first scripture. Let's give the second part of it. Revelations. I love those R words. Revelation. Revelation 21, verse 26 and 27. Again, this is after God has created a new heaven and earth. So read this in context. Okay, Revelation 21, verse 26 and 27. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought in. Woo, they're coming in, okay? Nothing impure, yay, evil, sin will ever enter in, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo, did you notice it didn't say only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life who are perfect? Never messed up. It didn't say that. right? It just said, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, okay? So if you've accepted Jesus, he has taken your sins, past, present, and future, washed them away, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you've asked Jesus, okay? So that is just like, woohoo! Now, let me give you a New Testament scripture. Turn to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. We're flipping over to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you have not smiled, get ready, you're going to smile. Okay, get your happy sticker on. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him. Who's the him? Jesus. God made Jesus what? Who knew no sin to be sin for us. You should be smiling. Yes. Woo! Thank you. All right. So God put all of our sins, the sins on the world, on Jesus. So I don't have to. I don't have to carry that. I don't have to have it thrown in my face. Pretty cool, right? Okay, next part. So that in him means once you've accepted Jesus, the Holy Spirit makes you in union with Jesus. It's like that Velcro, those two pieces, okay? So in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Woo! Okay, so we might become. Become means born, okay? And the righteousness, okay, so when you accept Jesus into your life, okay, he took all your sins, and you accept that, and you are now born new. You are the real you, your spirit's made alive. Woo! Okay, you're new. Praise God. And then you become holy and blameless and righteous. Some of y'all just need to look at your mirror every day, 100 times a day. I'm holy, I'm blameless, I'm righteous. I don't care what they said. I'm holy, I'm blameless, I'm righteous. I don't care what that devil said. He's a liar. You don't listen to him. I'm holy, I'm blameless, and righteous because I've accepted what Jesus did for me. Hallelujah, okay? And that alone is why you can enter heaven. Did you notice what Brother Hagin said? I belong to the church. I've been water baptized. Okay? It wasn't until you accept what Jesus did. All right? Amen? Okay. So here's a question I get. I get some really good questions. Kids ask the best questions. And I will tell you, half the time I used to go, I don't know, I'm going to look that one up. But this one I got an answer for. Why does God, allow sin and evil on the earth? That's a good question. Okay? Everything? Oh, y'all already know the answer. Well, here's a simple answer. Listen to this, okay? This is my theory, okay? I'll give you a scripture, but this is my theory. Because he wants to allow us to choose. He wants to allow us to choose him. Now listen, God could just get rid of sin. You know, we wouldn't have a problem with sin. And he'd make us a robot. He's programming. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. God, you're so good. Oh, amazing. God, you're so good. Okay? God didn't make us a robot. He wants you to choose him. And when you choose him, oh my gosh, don't you love it, right? He wants you to choose him, okay? Choose him. And when you choose him, he does the miracle on the inside. He does it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not you, not me, but he does it. Praise God. So here, let me flip my pages here. Oh, here we go. How many are living on the earth? If not, we're going to start praying. Okay, we live on this earth. It's messed up, right? It's unfair. This earth, people and this earth sometimes are just really unfair. And I have seen a lot of pain and suffering on this earth. I've seen a lot of people go through pain and suffering, okay? And the thing is, matter of fact, I was just kind of thinking about this. This is a couple of years ago. We have some pastor friends up in Connecticut, and it was that year that a gunman came into a school and just shot teachers and kids. And my friend is a pastor up there, and he did these funerals. And I thought, man, that is awful, painful. Okay, so we live in a world where it's just ugly and awful and painful. Okay, but someday, when we depart or we're caught up in the sky, we're going to a place where that's not happening. That's a good place. We're going to heaven. That'll never happen. All right? So praise God. All right. Now, there's still all this ugly, painful stuff happening now. But we will go to a place. Praise God. Amen. All right. Now, second reason why God allows people to go to this awful place. Ready? Number two. God is holy. God is just. Write that down. God is holy and just, and he will hold people accountable. Oh man, we live in a time where people don't want to be accountable. But listen, you know what I'm really saying is God will balance the books. Amen. Anybody ever balance your checkbook? Okay, God, but not that book, books. God will balance the books. They'll be balanced, okay? Now, I want to say this for all of you that are Christians, because some of you would just be feeling all condemned. Ready? I don't want you to feel like that, okay? Because of what Jesus did and because you accepted him, okay, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but we will go to receive our rewards, okay? We go to the reward seat. Turn left. Go this way or turn right. That was my right. Okay. All right. So if you're a believer, you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, but not to see if you're going to heaven because you have already received Jesus. You will stand there and you will receive rewards on how you lived your life. And some of you are going to have a big pile of rewards. And some of you are like, you little kids, how come I didn't get? Okay. It's between you and God. And I'll talk about that later. Praise God. Praise God, Pastor D. Okay. So, but for non-Christians, for not people who have not received what Jesus did and accepted that, they're at the judgment side. Okay? Alrighty? Now, how many of you know it's unfair out there? Some days it's just unfair, okay? And there's some terrible people that do some terrible things, okay? And it seems like they just get away with it. I was like, that's not fair, all right? So, but listen, if you have not accepted Jesus, there will be a day of judgment, a day of balancing the books. You're not going to get away with it, all right? And as a believer, listen, all of you, that my attitude is I don't want anybody to be in that line. I want them to meet Jesus. I wouldn't want them to ever go to that awful place. Okay? So this message, again, is a lot for us, right? Just think about that, all righty? So, praise God. Turn over to Ecclesiastes. This is written by Solomon. Solomon was said to be the wisest man that ever lived on the planet. Solomon was a king. Praise the Lord. And he wrote this at the end of his life. Now, this is Old Testament, but he's still got some wise things going on in there. Listen to this. This is Solomon. He's writing this at the end of the life. He says, I saw all this when I thought about the things that are done on this earth, a world where some people have power and others have to suffer under them. You know what he's saying? Man, this world, it's unfair. Right? It's just not fair. Now, hey, we live in the United States of America. I'm so glad I was born here. I live here, stuff like that. But I am really glad I don't live in Iran. Okay, now it's not that I don't like Iranian people, but they have a religious dictator government, and they are killing hundreds, probably thousands, of Christians and locking them up in jail. Okay? It's awful. That's an awful place to live. And then more people are trying to get out of there. And there's a lot more awful places in this world. Okay, sometimes I can't take the news. I've decided once a week I'm going to listen to this. I just hear too much awful things, okay? But I always go, thank God I live in America. Praise God. And listen, there's some bad people here, though, right? We won't even talk about leaders. Just skipping over that today, all right? But, hey, I'm glad I live here. But you know what I decided? It's an unfair world out there. All right? Now listen to the next part he says, verse 10. Yes, I have seen the wicked. Did you say wicked? Yes, the wicked buried and in their graves. But on the way back from the cemetery, people are praising them in the very city where they did their evil. It's useless. That's crazy because the world's messed up and it's unfair. But listen to this. It looks like when you read that, people get away with stuff. But that's not true. Because God will balance the books and everyone will be judged. Alrighty? So again, I want everybody to come to a place where they meet Jesus. I wouldn't want my worst enemy to be in that place. You know, I was sitting there thinking back. There's only like three times in my life where I just knew I had a worst enemy. Like, this one person just lied about me, stole things. I was just so mad. And then I was thinking about it as I was preparing this. I wouldn't even want Jimmy, no last names, to go to a place like that. It's horrible, horrible, okay? So praise God. Not praise God, but there is a judgment. God will balance the book on everybody, all righty? Praise God. Now, let me give you another scripture here in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Let me give you the background of this. 2 Thessalonians, this is the Apostle Paul writing to this wild, wonderful, great church. I mean, they just grew big and they grew strong right away. And you know what happened, came right after that? They got persecuted. They got persecuted by the government. And then let's add some people, some other kind of people, but they started getting persecuted. So Paul's writing them and he's going to encourage them. So listen to what he says. 1 Thessalonians 4. This is why we, Paul, ourselves boast about you, the Thessalonians church, to all the other churches of God. We boast about the way you continue to endure and believe through all the persecutions and the sufferings you're experiencing. I'm going to jump down to verse 6. God will do what is right. He will bring suffering on those who make you suffer. And verse 7. Well, let's just stop there. Now, let me qualify what he just said. How many of you know some Christians can really hurt you? Yeah. How many make you? They make you suffer. But that's not what it's talking about here, okay? That's not what he's talking about here, Christians. He's talking about, all right. But listen, how many of you have ever been wronged by a Christian? Okay? Yeah, okay. But if you've really been wronged, and they, now make sure you forgive them, but if they've really wronged you or wronged somebody and they've not gone to God for forgiveness, just confess and forgive, you know what they do? They open up the door for the devil just to come in and slam them, okay? Sometimes I think people just leave their foot in the door and keep it open. Like, that is so, what was it, a couple weeks we had a communion fellowship and I left that door. I got more people yelling at me, Pastor D, you left the door, we're cold. And I'm sitting there thinking I'm hot. But think about that. When you're a believer, Christian, I'm talking about Christians, and you do awful things, it's time to repent. You know, you got that Holy Spirit telling you, and you shut that door because the bad things are just not fun things, okay? So, but this time when he writes this, he's talking about non-Christians, non-believers, okay, that don't repent. Now, again, this church is being persecuted. They are being, they came and, Jesus, I thank you, come into my life, and they're just having a great time together. And then the government comes in and they're taking their houses away from them. They're taking their jobs away from them. Guess what? You don't have a job, you don't have money, you go hungry, you don't have a house, you're going to get cold. They're being persecuted bad, big time, okay? Now listen to verse 7. It says, and he will give relief to you who suffer as well as, and to us as well. He will do this when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. That's when he comes back with his mighty angels. Verse 8, with flaming fire to punish those. Now look who's getting punished. To punish those who, one, reject God, and two, who do not obey the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So, the Bible says, if you reject Jesus, you reject God. Amen. Well, no happy faces here. If you reject Jesus, you reject God. And obeying the gospel means you heard about Jesus. You heard that he is the Savior, that he came, okay? And you accept him. That's obeying him, okay? Alrighty? So, this is like the referring to, this is the hard line that God put on here. And he said, you need to believe and receive. Okay, that's all that is. All right. Now, what about us Christians? Okay, what about us Christians? Okay, well, Jesus paid for our sins. Now, I'm going over stuff, and some of you are like, I know that. Good, tell somebody. Okay, tell somebody. Okay, Jesus paid for our sins. All righty. And because he paid for my sins, I know exactly what happens when I go up to the judgment seat. I am going to the reward side, Okay? And I'm going there because I have asked Jesus, I thanked him for taking my sins, and I've accepted him, all right? So that's what happens to Christians. Praise God. Now, let me do, okay, jump, praise God. Verse 9. They will suffer, those who rejected Jesus, rejected God and the good news, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. Remember, we are all eternal. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, separated from the presence of the Lord and from his glorious might. And when he comes on that day to receive glory from all his people and honor from all who believe, you too will be among them because you have believed in the message we told him. How many of you believed in the message? Man, good. Okay, so do you believe? Have you received? Praise God. Now, did you notice it didn't say because you were so perfect? It just simply said no, okay, because we're going to struggle. We struggle as Christians, but did you receive Jesus, all right, and are you trying? I'm trying. Tell somebody you're trying, right? I'm trying, okay? So that's the second reason why God will hold people accountable. Now, I want to go over real quick just a couple of scriptures because they're kind of tough to go to more than what hell is like. Okay? Now, Jesus talked about hell. So turn over to Luke chapter 16. Okay? I want to talk about how awful this place is. Okay? Luke chapter 16. Do you know the devil's going there someday? Do you know that he's not going to be the boss down there? He's not going to be walking around with his pitchfork, just doing awful things to you. No, he's going to be in those eternal flames, suffering and tortured too, okay? Luke 16. Read all of that, chapter 1 all the way down to here, but okay. And the time came when the beggar died. This is Lazarus. And the angel carried him to Abraham's side. King James says Abraham's bosom. Try teaching that to a class of kids. They just go wipe out laughing crazy. So I'd have to wheel them in and say, well, okay, Abraham's side. And what that was is a comfort place, okay? And the reason it's talking about Old Testament people that believed in God, believed in the law, because that's all they knew. They believed, or they were righteous because of that, okay? But they were still sin-stained because Jesus hadn't died. Then Jesus died, rose, and went to heaven, and he came down and he rescued them and he set them brought them up, okay? But this is an Old Testament place. Two places, right? Two addresses, right? Okay. So, okay, keep reading. Where am I? Let's see. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment, and he looked up and saw Abraham from afar with Lazarus by his side. So the rich man died and he was buried, and he didn't go there because he was rich. He went there because he did not believe in God or the law at that time. Okay, he went there. So he was unrighteous. Okay, and there he was in torment, and he saw Lazarus. Okay, and the rich man cries out, Father Abraham, I need some water. It's hot down here. Father Abraham, come. And Abraham, Father Abraham says, I can't. You've already crossed over. And then he goes, well, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, send somebody to go tell. Okay? Praise God. So hell is a place of torment. We don't want to go there. We don't want anybody to go to be there, all right? Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. I've read the first part but I want to just dwell on this last part. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 9. So again, we're talking about people who have not received Jesus. They didn't choose, okay? They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, separated from the presence of the Lord and from his glorious might. Okay. I think that's probably going to be the worst part of hell, to be separated from God. To be separated. And there's, Pastor D, it's going to be hot down there. And that's not the worst part. And you're going to, no. The worst part is to be separated from God. And God is love, and he is perfect and amazing. And to be separated from that. So to separate it from the presence of God. Now, we just had a worship service, and it says that God inhabits the praises of us people. His presence comes in. And, you know, sometimes you can just, all the junk you carried falls off and you just feel this peace and just, not that we go by feelings, but it's great to be the presence. But, and, you know, the presence of God is also on the earth. He says it causes the, the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Yep. Okay. His presence, and he's got beautiful places and it's just beautiful around this earth. But the worst would be to be separated. Yes. Separated. And again, I just want to say, this is, I have had, not, I wouldn't say fun, but I have had on the inside studying for these last two messages. Because I want to pray for those, be praying for those that I know have not received salvation, have not received Jesus. And I want to do that because I don't want them to go to this place. And you know what? I want to be praying and looking. How many of you have a day off? How many put a zillion things on your day off list? My day off list. And you know what? I can get so focused on my day off list that I just blow past everybody. And I'm praying, God, I want to pray for people that don't know you. And I want to see those you put before me. And I want to see those open doors. Amen? Man, okay. So, and you know, it's really easy. Just easy. You don't have to beat them and say, do not start your sentence. You're dying and going to hell. Don't start your sentence that way to somebody. You're going to hell. Unless it is the Holy Spirit written on the wall. Okay. But just say, hey, can I tell you a good story? And then my second sentence, can I tell you what Jesus did? And then my third sentence is, you know, I just go. It's real easy. Okay. It's real easy to do this. Okay. Praise God. So, you know, sometimes we can rationalize. I can rationalize, you know, God, it's my day off. I got 20 zillion things. Well, this is mine. You know, God, I do altar calls. So, you know, I already done my good deed. No, every day go, God, put people in my path that I can do what I'm supposed to do, save and share Jesus. Well, you do the saving, but I share Jesus, okay? So this message really helps me. I'm going to leave you with one happy scripture because I really pounded you a lot. Okay, so turn over to 1 John. 1 John is at the end of your Bible. It's right before Revelations. 1 John. 1 John 5, 11, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. 1 John, chapter 5. First, just read 1 John. John, it's a happy place to go, okay? 1 John. And this is what God has testified. He has given us what? Eternal life. And this life is in who? His Son, okay? Life is in His Son and nobody else, all right? Nobody else, only Jesus. And whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So God decided to make this hard line. There's only one way to heaven, okay? Just one way. And, you know, I've had people come up with me and I'm not going to say argue, just share. And I let, you know, there's many gods, Pastor D, and there's many ways. Listen, I believe the Bible. And God said there's one way. And you are eternal and there's one way and you can choose that way. All right, so I'm just, anybody believe that? So are you excited that you had Jesus shared with you? Amen. Amen. Are you excited that your sins have been carried away? Are you excited that you stand holy and blameless? Okay. Are you excited that you have a place someday? Amen. An eternal place. Praise God. The right address. Praise God. Amen. So, you know, it's one thing to be excited about what Jesus has done in your life. But God has given that gift of salvation, not just for you, it's to share with people. And that is my prayer today for you, that you this would stick to you better than oatmeal, that you would remember that God has placed you on this earth and given you a message because we are all eternal and there's two addresses. Amen. So why don't you stand up? I want to pray for you. Praise God. And then I'll let you out of here. Woo! Glory to God. Praise God. Father, just bow your heads, close your eyes. Don't pick up your purse. Just be still, all right? Father, we just thank you for the word that is truth. And we thank you, Father, that this word about this address stays with us and about your love. And Father, I just pray for everybody in this place that you would continue to open their eyes. Everybody say, open my eyes, Lord. Just mean it. Open my eyes to see people you put in my path. Amen. Thank you, God, that I have a message to tell. Amen. Praise God. And listen, this isn't the prayer part. You don't have to repeat me. Listen, as you share this message, there's some people that are going to reject you and just not be nice to you. Let it fall off of you like water off a duck's back. Okay? It's called persecution. And we're supposed to say, yippee. Okay? But don't let it get you. Just keep your eye focused on the mission. My mission is I know I'm going to heaven and I want to share this and bring as many people as possible. So, Lord, here we are. We say, Lord, use me. Amen. Now, nobody moving around. If you're here today and I have just made you think about eternity, you've never even thought about eternity. You may not have even believed in God, but your heart has just been opened. If you're here and you're like, wow, eternity, I don't want that place. I want to receive a loving God. Well, today you can. It's really simple. It's so simple. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and dying for me. Thank you for taking my sins and carrying them away. And this day I choose you. I accept you into my heart, into my life. I accept you as my Savior. And this day I will follow you. I will let you be Lord of my life. And if you say that, man, heaven is your home. That's your eternal address. And God loves you. He does a miracle in your life that you can't, just makes you new on the inside. So if you're here today and you want me to pray for you, matter of fact, and again, there's only one way. And Jesus said, if you call on him, he would save you. Isn't that pretty simple? Gosh, praise God. So let's all pray this out loud. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me, my sins, all my mess ups. And he carried them away. And today I accept him as my Savior. I stand before you now, blameless, holy, righteous. And now I also choose you to be Lord. I let you lead me, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. That means you're born again. That's pretty cool. Praise the Lord. That's really cool. That's just wild. So praise God. If you would like prayer for anything, I've got some elders up here. They'll come and pray with you. Otherwise, man, go out and get them. No, I didn't mean it that way. But have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful week. Amen. If you need prayer, that story on Brother Hagin's in his book called I Went to Hell, you can watch it on YouTube.